Blog Talk Radio.
I got the horse right here, the name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says if the weather's clear, can do, this guy says the horse can do, if he says the horse can do, can do.
I'm picking Valentine, cause on the morning line, the guy has got him bigger than 5 to 9. But naked epitaph, he wins it by a half, according to this here in the telegraph.
But for Rivera bite, I hear his foot's all right, of course it all depends if it read last night.
I know it's Valentine, the morning works look fine, you know the jockey's brother's a friend of mine.
And just a minute, boys, I got the feed box noise, it says the great grandfather was great.
I tell you, Paul Revere, now this is no bum steer, it's from a handicapper that's real sincere.
I think it's Valentine, cause on the morning line, the guy has got him bigger than 5 to 9.
So make it epitaph, he went by a half, according to this here in the telegraph. Epitaph,
Paul Revere,
I got the horse, right.
And the race is on. This is Friday Mic Check here on Here Be Monsters. We're sponsored by Roundtree7.com, and that's number 7, Writing Knowledge to the Social Consciousness, and Daughters of Isis, the Ancestor Aromacology. Please patronize us. You will find a link to both sites on our show page. Okay, sorry about that. A little message popped up. I had to deal with it. We're part of a Friday drumline of independent or indie blog talk radio shows dedicated to informing you via Occupy and by boycotting the mainstream media. You know, them who gives you the corporate messaging to ignite an urge to buy or tells you lies about the Wall Street stooges who are the horse right here, like Obama, Gingrich, Romney, you know, those folks. So Occupy Blog Talk Radio on Fridays, beginning right here at 4 p.m. with Here Be Monsters Mic Check recap of the week. Okay, and we'll try to give you the greater actions coming up and a recap of what has happened this last week and both local and national and global. And today I'd like to say, once again, I am Egyptian. There are tens of thousands of people in Tahrir Square again in Cairo, Egypt. So send your good feelings, your good thoughts, your good vision out to Egypt, because they're back at it in the square. Tens of thousands, and it's not really a celebration of a year. It's about getting the military now out who took over from Mubarak. So please remember that, and please do it. We have a lineup on Fridays, and it's nice of me to mention, you know, who they are. We have a little group. At 5 p.m., we are usually followed by Dusty Taylor's What's Jerking My Chain This Week, out from Bakersfield, California. Dusty's a little bit under the weather this week, so she will not be on, and sending Dusty love and light to heal up real soon. Followed at 6 p.m. with Diane G. and the Wild Wild Left from Michigan. And after Diane comes a 7 o'clock show, Progress Towards Democracy, with Ruthann and Brian via Chicago and Fort Lauderdale. I didn't use their last names because, although I know Brian Stetton's, I still haven't learned to pronounce Ruthann's, but memorable folks with a great show. So you might want to listen up. And then straight up at midnight on the left side, midnight, the left side of the country, It would be 3 a.m. our time in Reno, Nevada, is Pinko the Bear. Go and pay attention to Pinko. He's not to be missed. You got to do Pinko. Anyways, Occupy DC is holding something tomorrow that they are calling. Well, they're not holding it. They're going to disrupt what they call the party of the 1% of the 1%. Basically, American, if you will, aristocracy. I think I just pissed off the only guest in the chat room at the moment. basically, the who's who are going to be at the Capitol Hilton Hotel near McPherson Square, where Occupy DC is, and they're attending what they call the Alpha Club. This is because of the plant's infamous thirst. It is a booze party, which I could enjoy with good friends in my Occupy crowd, but certainly wouldn't want to be at the alcohol-fueled dinner for the 1% of the 1%. So Occupy DC will be down there disrupting. It's the 99th gathering of this club, the Alfalfa Club, once again. And it's only fitting that the 99% nonviolently crash the party and have a gala of their own outside of the hotel. You can dress however you'd like. Shoes are even optional. Fun facts: the Alfalfa Club's meeting date is chosen to celebrate the birthday of Confederate General Robert E. Lee. Well, he was indeed a great man. African Americans were barred admittance until the 1970s, and women weren't allowed until the 1990s. What does that tell you? In their annual mock election, they've correctly predicted numerous future presidents, such as Nixon, Reagan, and Bush. Hello? Now there's a party. I mean, I'd be thrown out so fast the bartender's head would swing. For more information on all of this, you can go on over to OccupyDC.org and get all the information if you're in or around Washington, especially the McPherson Square area. Please do go on over and attend. And I have an announcement, local, this weekend at Occupy Palm Beach, the county site. There's going to be a teach-in on neoliberal capitalism tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. And it will be held one block away from City Hall on Olive and or Banyan. And Banyan and Olive. There we go. Okay. So please get on over there if you can. All right. Twitter announced that they have a power switch. They have the power to switch off selective countries as far as tweeting goes. Well, I think we could tell that, well, when Occupy was basically not what do they call it, trending. And it was the largest thing hitting Twitter, but it did not trend once. I think we know where Twitter's tweets are at. Twitter is one of the new social media tools that was used in the important Arab Spring by the protesters. Now, this was a little notation written up by David Williams, or Krell, over at Roundtree 7. He said if he was a paranoid person, he would say that DHS gave a strong suggestion to Twitter that they implement this, just like the cell phone companies were suggested to have a backdoor surveillance method. And Microsoft has put in a few as well in their OS. It's a weird sort of 1984 type of language. They gave a statement that they needed this to assure that tweets can get out. Well, you know, I suppose you could look at it that way. I'm not going to really look at it that way. I'm going to look at it as a conspiracy. Never used to, you know. used to actually believe what the government told me. No, not everything objectively, but with just a little due diligence on my part, thinking that I had the truth. And you know what? I was one of the rational, calm people who made choices and voted, you know, with responsibility. Now I'm part of the Occupy movement, and it's a global movement. It isn't just this country. So I'm just putting these little things in there, reminders, if you will. So we got a stream of consciousness show going today. We're going to run till we have either till 5 p.m. or till we don't have any information left to give you. Going back to the tweets, you got to wonder what Twitter means by that. In a similar fashion, to assure that he's getting home from work tonight, he will be letting the air out of one of his car tires. That's about as right as that sounds, I'm thinking, that David's thinking. The FBI said the tool, quote, must have the ability to rapidly assemble critical open source information and intelligence that will allow SIOC to quickly vet, identify, and geolocate breaking events, incidents, and emerging threats. Well, shit, honey. they really wanted, this is civil liberties territory here, but of course the president signed NDAA, so hey, that's fucking gone, man. You should pardon my language. It would need to be able to, quote, instantly search and monitor keywords and strings in all publicly available tweets across the Twitter site and any other publicly available social networking site or forums. We, you know, next October, we'll have a lot of problems when that thing goes into effect. They're disappearing immigrants right now. They're gonna be able to disappear us with the greatest of ease. Now, there's a radio show host in California, near Sacramento, and her name is Kathleen Wells, and I snatched one of her better statements today off of Facebook. She said, and I quote, "In the GOP debate last night, a Palestinian Republican stood up in the audience and asked a question about the Palestinian-Israeli issue. The answers from Mitt and Newt were so hyperbolic," and she's hoping that is the correct word, I'm thinking it is, "about what we will do for our ally Israel, I actually thought it was a setup or something." Well, maybe it was. Everything was Palestine's fault. They didn't ask Ron Paul, and the audience exploded with applause. The Palestinian stood there looking dismayed. These debates are quite a spectacle, aren't they? It's very Roman, isn't it? You know, you expect them to come out with their togas on, holding little scepters, with those senator scepters form. Listen, and the largest campaign speech was delivered on the 24th. They called it the State of the Union, but I think that's the other can-do horse here. We'll call him the banker's bitch. Welcome to campaign 2012. So the State of the Union was read on the 24th, and now, I'm a small, and by small, I want you to read itty-bitty, mom-pop, Main Street kind of manufacturer. I work from home. I heard nothing new in the president's speech, and it makes me think that my country backs my maker ideals and values, with zero substance. Nor is it ever going to persuade the banking industry here in the United States to give me any kind of assistance in solidifying or building. You know, I know that my great-grandfather actually started a thrift in Rochester, New York, just so he could, with other responsible larger businessmen in the community of Rochester, put their money, pull it together, and give small mom-pop Main Street people ideas a chance. With hat in hand, they would come into that bank. Now, I have no equity. All I have is, well, I have 8 years of steady customers who are still, you know, purchasing, and I could do much better if I had backing, but the only thing available to me is to leave it to my own devices or to have my creative business strengths adrift in a physical sea of venture capitalism. That it's going to give me a living after gutting my making into whatever profiteering and mass production and quality standard knockdown for cheap will achieve. These people are sharks. And basically, I got to tell you, I've been there. I've had it offered to me, and I've said, no, thank you, sir. I think I'll look for somebody else who would really like to see me do what I do my way. I do not do machines. I put people to work. What a concept. But this is my point. Talking about jobs there. Yeah, the president is talking about all the jobs that have swelled in the last few months. And those jobs were seasonal jobs that are already dwindling. I mean, it's smoke and mirrors. And this fraud in the White House is supporting that kind of business model. So don't make any mistake here. Obama is a Goldman Sachs boy or man. And that was not a xenophobic slur. Wrong side of the room for that. I represent real or actual mom-pop Main Street merchants and makers who are the strength of a community. And we support the larger integrity-abiding industry that is in there. You know? That's what we do. We support and make whole and real the ability for larger industry in a community to grow and thrive and build. So he touted it, Jesus. I mean, it was to have a coronary listen to that saying, I've secured consistent sales and standard of product and a consumer list that grows very slowly, but I stick to it. Through one of the worst depressions the country's ever seen. I really do think it's there. I think we have spikes of good business months, but honestly, I don't think it's sustainable what they're doing. I don't think they're fixing our problems. I think they're creating more with profiteering and greedy guts gutting. He touted, and my point would be, he touted dirty coal fracking for natural gas, you know, more drill, baby, drill. Did he leave anything out, man, that guaranteed to extinguish the species within the next generation? He pretty well kissed their collective big oil, big energy, destroy the environment asses in that speech. And he should. They filled his election war chest along with Goldman Sachs. What a mouthful. The guy is talking about reclaiming American values. Well, which ones? None that I've seen demonstrated out of him or any of the people that are running with him. You know, we got the horse right here. The brutality that's been practiced on those who would stand up and be counted among those redressing the government right now, and I am talking about occupiers, the brutality against them wasn't even addressed by this president. He just co-opted by innuendo the message of the 1% against the 99% as a vehicle to express greater what he is hoping people will open up and listen to. Because just like the first time out, now I'm including all of them running in this, the Republicrats, all of them, and the independents. I'm no fan of Ron Paul's either. Goodness gracious, I'm seeing all of those people in and out. Anyways, reclaim American values, the brutality on those who would stand up and actually be counted against what's going on right now. There's who's going to account for the wreckage that's been caused? Over 5,300 people put in jail, but not one banker. You know the rhetoric that I have. It's valid. Asking for accountability from this president is an errand trying to take, but listen again for the sound of our footsteps this spring. The guy actually signed NDAA on New Year's Eve. There's no accountability in the offing coming up, but it's an election year. And what I was reading before about the ability to tap into our social media, to be there even before we begin to set up, to demonstrate or protest. This is something that is being done very, very furiously from the side of government because they've got an election to run. And if Occupy is consistently going to be coming out against the current president, there's going to be a lot of problems. Hide and watch, you see. He's using shades of gray to get where he needs to be to fool folks into believing him or choosing him as the lesser of two evils. Have you heard that argument? Let me know if you haven't. Because I hear it so often from people who mean well, but they're not really educating themselves to the idea that, or to the standard that can be set to simply say, no, I'm going to choose someplace else to put my vote. You know, stand up and have some integrity. He touts these millions in increase of job levels, and he neglects to extend the truth in that they are seasonal jobs that have begun to evaporate. It was, I think, 3 months ago that I heard the news say that there were 42.8 million Americans living at the poverty level in this country. And now I'm hearing close to 47 million. I don't know which is true, but it's astounding that those numbers are so vast. You do realize this is like more than a quarter of the country, a fifth of the country, which is an extreme amount of people. I'm one. How about you? Are you one? Have you lost your job? The American workers who've attained jobs are working for much less than they used to. The middle class was droned in the deal to keep the automotive industry in the United States. You know, the labor unions for automotive workers gave up, you know, essentially any teeth they ever had, any kind of bennies, any kind, you know, everything has dropped so much. The kind of wage they are making, there's much wage slavery going on in this country right now, extraordinarily. A lot of wage slavery. This great Obama save came at the cost of labor wages and benefits. And while we did need to do something to keep the industry, did we need to do it at the cost of people instead of and you can turn the argument around and you can say that people are the ones who benefit, but, you know, at the cost of middle class and everyone is a wage slave and living in poverty from month to month. American workers who've attained jobs are working for so much less than they used to. The GOP is too stupid to acknowledge any of this stuff. It's really weird. That's the caliber of intelligence that's here in my state of Florida right now. While some have been excessive, the majority of those wages and benefits that were the hull of the ship of industry and community and making the middle class has just been gutted. It's full of rot. And our president expects you to pay up or go to jail for health care in the next couple of years. I really resent the fact that it's not being explored further for folks to basically for folks to speak up and say, hey, wait a minute, wait a minute. Not all the glitters, in fact, very little that glitters is gold over there. Think about what he said. Great video to see over at Dennis Traynor Jr.'s site, an acronym, .org. He'll tell you the 10 things that weren't said, especially about our environment and about making money. It's all smoke and mirrors with these guys. There's lots of it going on. It's like we opened it up with. It's the horse right here. He capitulates happily to the Republicans, and then for the last 7, 8, 9 months, he's been showing some resistance to that because he's running for office again. And I say it is all about basically getting reelected. That's the whole thing. That is the whole thing here. Well, the powers that be, Wall fucking Street, any poor sap who's not getting that yet. Every president since Reagan, man. I mean the chief seats, okay? He lied about Iraq, you know. And in doing that, we were kicked out of there. And in lying about the real reasons that we had to get out of Iraq so completely, so quickly, he prostituted the military, if you ask me. They absolutely kicked us the hell out of town in Iraq. And, of course, there's the bomb, Iran going on right now. But it's like basking in the glow of violent corruption. You know, his big thing was to tell everybody that the flag carried by the SEALs who killed Osama bin Laden is his biggest treasure since he's gotten into the presidency. And I want y'all to think about that one for a goddamn minute. His biggest treasure, is the flag that was carried by the SEALs who killed Osama bin Laden after 4 years in office. To me, that's a warmonger, a drone dictator. I have friends in Pakistan and Afghanistan, and I'm appalled at the murder and collateral damage that's being committed in my name. I'm not going to say anything about what's going on over there amongst the mercenaries we pay for. I'm just going to say that, you know, this is, it's nuts. It's just nuts. Also that, it's not what democracy looks like. And it's also Obama can ride some sense of, yes, I support the arrogance of the Knesset and the Israeli government, those old farts, that the majority of the Israeli people don't really support their policies. They're looking for two-state solutions. They're looking for a great deal more than they're getting. They want younger leadership, but the older vanguard there is just stuck like glue. And they need to be, you have to feed that kitty. You got to feed that kitty. And so we have people out there like old man McCain saying, you know, bomb Iran, you know. I'm singing it. Well, they all want to kind of stick him in, you know, all of these people who support him on the Israeli stance that he's trying to cultivate, a lot of these folks are, you know, still thinking in terms of, like, I wouldn't want my daughter to marry one kind of thing. We're talking about Tea Party folks that he's looking to cultivate an independent vote this way. It's the only thing I can think. The only constituency that would really ever open their minds to this president and their hearts, by the way, is the very one that put him into the Oval Office. And I was one of them. And he's done nothing more than piss on us like corpses on the ground in Afghanistan. Okay? You know, that's what's going on. You following me here? Lord, it's all those people. He uses the military now like every other shameless bastard since Reagan has done. It's just a tool to get him votes from a certain segment, a demographic. So the last 11 years of nonstop profiteering for Halliburton, Raytheon, WE, Wack and Hut, Chevron, Exxon, Mobil, BP, Shell. This is the smoke and hot war industry that this president is bound and committed to by blood of green money to further so that he can occupy the Oval Office. And when you consider that he's using the military that way and that 18 vets a day are taking their lives, this is the cost. This is the cost. 18 vets a day are taking their lives in this country that have come back from this greasy, hot, motherfucking war machine that they got going on, the Republicrats. Nancy Pelosi can take equal bucket of guilt as Newt Gingrich, you know? God, it's outrageous hubris. This president spoke of nothing of preserving the sanctity of life on the planet and community with all countries. He spoke nothing about his opportunities for prosperity were all anchored in profiteering corporations that further spoil the planet and gear up that hot smoking war machine on the ready for industry productivity and job plans. He doesn't give a shit about the environment. He really doesn't. On October 28th of last year, we reached what is called AHA 13, or the end of the Mayan calendar, the Zolcan. And I'm not going to speak of the endings of worlds or the end of days here. I'm just mentioning that there is synchronicity in events. And on winter solstice this year, in December 21st, we do achieve an astrological alignment that happens once every 26,000 years. I think we're seeing some very acute behavior in the species of humanity right now. And there's got to be a trigger that makes change. I just hope it isn't a really horrible one. This week, we went through some solar flare activity and solar sun storms. And our magnetic fields that surround the planet are dampened because our magnetic pole journeyed more than it usually does. In fact, it moved a whole 40 miles last year. That's kind of huge. Well, it isn't kind of. It actually is huge. So basically what we've got going on here is a time. It's a moment. It's the precession of the equinoxes, a new era is going on. We're leaving the age of Pisces, which is an age of belief, and we're breaking into a time of experience, demonstration, authentic knowledge. It's called the age of Aquarius. We're being asked to occupy our home with a cosmic vision that our ancestors kept, you know? Obama took no responsibility for the brutality used in nationally organized force with metropolitan mayors and police agencies, together with Homeland Security's guidance and arsenal against the occupiers. He just yoked the force and abiding service of our OWS message through innuendo. And the son of a bitch is trying to put things in place so that any protest, any demonstration, any day of action, any kind of action called in wherever he's campaigning is going to be, you know, usurped by Homeland Security. You can bet on it. Homeland Security, the local forces, and the Secret Service. A friend of mine from the Facebook community Muhammad Faraz made an observation this week. The question to ask is, if not me, then who? And if not now, when? And that is definitely an O's moment. A complete strike was observed on Thursday in Indian-held Kashmir and Kashmiris on both sides of the line of control over there across the world, marked India's Day of Republic as Black Day. The day was observed to convey to the international community that India's butcher against the innocent humanity and its continued denial of Kashmiri's right to self-determination is a tight slap in the face of the so-called champion of democracy called India right now. Every country has occupiers right now. Every country. Oh, there may be a few small ones that don't, but there are people wondering how to get it out there. I dare damn Tia to say, hey, yeah, we got to occupy here. I think Michael Moore said it very well when he said, you know, two people, you got to occupy, you know? It's like you got three people, you got a society, but if you got two or even one, you got an occupation. In Beirut, in 2 days of bloody turmoil in Syria, more than 50 people were killed as forces loyal to President Bashar Assad shelled residential buildings, fired on crowds, and left bleeding corpses in streets in a dramatic escalation of violence, activists said on Friday. How long has it been since Mohammed Bouazizi? Good God, they had body bags of children. And Ariola in Cairo. Excuse me. In Cairo, I am Egypt today. I mean, we all are Egypt today. Tens of thousands are in Tahrir Square again to get the military out. Large marches of protesters are chanting anti-military slogans, and they're streaming from mosques around Cairo to join tens of thousands in central Tahrir Square in a new uprising anniversary rally today, with many demanding an early transfer of power by the ruling military and trial of generals for killing of protesters. And so it begins again. It begins again. Tell you what, Homeland Security here is very, very apprehensive about the American spring that is coming. I've been on for 40 minutes, and I'm going to close with something. Gave you the Occupy updates at the beginning. Down here in Florida, we are enjoying some special time with Republicans. It's real nice. We got Newt Romney and Mitt. Newt Romney, yeah, okay, that's who we got. We got Newt Romney down here. Hey, go for the laughs where you can. That's how it's feeling. Okay. We have a moral dilemma, and that moral dilemma, I think, could probably be summed up as simple kindness. It's been absent from our social consciousness for a while. It's not that everyone stops understanding kindness or acknowledging it or using it. It's just that it's not used the way it used to be, like a standard of human behavior we once embraced, you know, being civil to each other. In a community, acknowledging and building a community, it's just that it's become so very small in our larger social dynamic and leadership. Greed is more sufficient these days. Folks have some very funny values anymore, you know? We know that most of what is being proposed as new law is unkind to many who have been damaged by the corrupt leadership that we've chosen for greedy guts purposes in this country. People attending political debates have essentially booed kindness in favor of this, I might just win the lotto and be a real one percenter one day mentality. They boo honesty and anything demonstrated other than what the candidates insist to be a cure-all, end-all, or just makes you afraid and thereby substantiates the candidate's argument. And they pollute our home. They use your youth as cannon fodder for profiteering wars, and they dismiss our elders by sucking the life out of them with a radioactive and mechanical health care, and they prolong it with fucking prescription drugs that only treat symptoms and prolong and draw out. Oh, God. You can find kindness in stories of connectiveness, and it's become less than the 6 degrees. It's now 4 degrees of separation, you know, folks. So when you look into a stranger's eyes, you might want to consider they aren't so strange. I saw an incredible story on television this week, and I'm going to tout it. It's a program with Kiefer Sullivan. It's called Touch. It was incredible. It provided a pretty accurate assessment of the goodness and kindness that is out there trying so hard to work its way back into our hearts with a conscious awareness. There was such magnificent clarity in the vision of our ancestors, you know. They viewed the planet as home and the stars and the expanding universe as part of their everyday and every night lives. And in that vision, their life and their world was fully grasped, and it was sacred to them. Sacred just means something that a whole community will cherish together and take care of. All of our stories, from the Ancient of Ancients to the Biblical to the Popol Vuh of the Maya, were taken from the motion of the heavens and the skies, and we make our way through the skies that way, and these are the stories that mirror who we are and what makes us tick. Our ancestors kept this cosmic vision, and they knew how to balance themselves by doing so with all the life that was surrounding them. They took, they hunted, they planted, they built, and they kept an eye on the sky. Well, they kept an eye on the sky to remind them of the places in the greater cosmos, their places in the greater cosmos. We are, after all, you know, like Carl Sagan says, we're just a blue dot in the galaxy filled with blue dots and other amazing phenomena to teach us that the template of our existence is mirrored in the sky, the motion of the skies. Our stories confirm that truth. And an awareness that eternity is the mechanism behind the curtain. I guess I'm telling you that eternity is the wizard. Maybe next Friday somebody will call in and I'll let them tell me that I'm full of shit about it, but I don't think so, because like Capra said, the dance of the electron particle becomes the dance of Shiva. Our ancestors knew we had a better memory than this, that we better fucking remember, and we better do it fast now. The doorway through to that wisdom, I think, is just kindness, keeping the kindness, and forget about the goddamn sky goblin. Jesus. You know, like we need to be putting our power in some other, take responsibility for ourselves. This is Friday, Occupy Friday. I'm Gwendolyn H. Berry in South Florida on Here Be Monsters. Oscar, thanks for calling in and listening to me. I do appreciate you. And I'm going to play myself out for the week. until Sunday begins a new one, and we have the Sunday show. And I appreciate all you folks who do listen, and thank you for hanging in there with my voice, which I am getting back, hopefully healthy-wise. So take care. Remember, we're sponsored by Roundtree7.com and Daughters of Isis, the Ancestor Rheumatology, of course. What did you think?
He is three, one's in the middle unmoved, waiting to show what he sees to the other two, to the one attacking, so afraid, and the one that keeps trying to love and trust and getting himself betrayed. In the plan, ooh, the divine plan, God must be a boogeyman.
God must be a boogeyman.
One so sweet, so overly loving and gentle, he lets people into his innermost sacred temple. Blind faith to care, blind rage to kill. Why'd he let him talk him down to cheap work and cheap thrills? In the plan, the insulting plan, God must be a boogeyman.
Thank you for listening. This has been Here Be Monsters, Mike Check, and Ryan.